Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about Colstrip groundwater contamination, a federal lawsuit challenging how the FBI handled a Crow man's death, and an update on the Montana vaping ban. It's Monday, October 21st. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. The Women and Gender Studies Center at Montana State University Billings and Global Village are hosting a free screening today of an animated drama that sponsors say is a story of empowerment in a 21st century war zone. Kay Erickson explains.
The movie, The Breadwinner, is based on a young adult novel by Deborah Ellis. It follows a young girl, Parwana, in Kabul, Afghanistan, who must cut off her hair and disguise herself as a boy to become the breadwinner for her family when her father is in prison.
Even though this is specifically set in Afghanistan, the themes, I think, are relevant for any place and time.
That's Jennifer Lynn, MSUB history professor and the center's director, one of the sponsors of bringing the animated movie to Billings.
It relates certainly not only to the challenges for girls and women in the economy, but also general issues of gender equity, rights of education, freedom of movement, challenges for women and girls on a daily basis.
The Breadwinner was nominated for a Golden Globe as well as 10 Animation Annie Awards, winning Best Animated Feature in 2018. Nobel Peace Prize winner Malala Yousafzai said, quote, "The Breadwinner reminds us how courageous and strong women are around the world," unquote. The Breadwinner airs Monday night at 6:30 p.m. at the Art House Cinema and Pub in downtown Billings. Doors open at 6 and the film will start at 6:30. For Yellowstone Public Radio News in Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
The Montana Fish and Wildlife Commission has requested information about closed roads or trail areas used for animal trapping so the panel can consider possible restrictions on the areas. The Independent Record reports the commission has asked staff in each of the 7 Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks regions to solicit public feedback on road setbacks. Officials say regulations require trappers to set traps a certain distance away from trails and roads to prevent conflicts with people or pets. The Montana Department of Environmental Quality is seeking public comment for next month on the mitigation of Colstrip groundwater contamination. Kayla DeRoche reports.
The state has determined that Units 3 and 4 of the coal-fired power plant in Colstrip are connected to leaking ash ponds that caused groundwater pollution. Under state law, DEQ requires owner Talon Energy to provide a remedy. Earlier this month, DEQ opened public comment on the latest cleanup evaluation report. Talon proposes a system to capture contaminated groundwater and flush out contaminants. The company is estimating a cost of around $111 million, according to DEQ project manager Sarah Edinburgh. She says this remedy won't necessarily change how Colstrip operates moving forward. What will is a 2016 settlement requiring Talon to switch to dry stack storage by 2022.
That's not part of the remedy. It'll help the remedy because they won't be storing wet ash there anymore as of then. So it's kind of separate, but that is a pretty big operational change at that area.
The Department of Environmental Quality is taking public comment on the remediation report until November 22nd. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Authorities say a Montana County deputy has been killed in a vehicle accident on an icy mountain road while responding to a report of a stranded vehicle. The Bozeman Daily Chronicle reports 31-year-old Deputy Jake Allmendinger was killed Saturday in Bozeman. The Gallatin County Sheriff's Office says Allmendinger and Deputy Ryan Jern were responding to a call in the Bridger Mountains when their vehicle slid backward on icy roads. Allmendinger exited and became trapped under the vehicle. A federal lawsuit challenging how the FBI handled a Crow man's death will go to trial after a decade-long fight in court. Olivia Reingold reports.
Over a decade ago, Arlene Cole and her husband Cletus filed a case against the Federal Bureau of Investigations and others on behalf of their son, Stephen Bear Crane. Bear Crane, a Crow tribal member, was shot and killed by a white man on the Crow Reservation almost 15 years ago. The FBI determined he was killed in an act of self-defense, but his family maintains he was murdered. In courtrooms across the country, from the 9th U.S. Circuit Appeals Court in Seattle to the U.S. Supreme Court, the Cole family has argued that their son's death was mishandled because of racism towards Native Americans. Until this Thursday, Cole says she hasn't been able to address those claims. That's when U.S. District Judge Sam Haddon denied the FBI's request for summary judgment. Now the case will go to a bench trial that Haddon will oversee. Bear Crane's mother, Cole.
My first words was, praise be to God. This is what we've been praying for all these years. Over a decade, we've been in court trying to get justice for Stephen.
Bear Crane's family is arguing that they're entitled to victims' benefits because the FBI misclassified the shooting. The parties will appear before Judge Haddon early next month to determine the schedule of the trial. Until then, Cole says this is the closest to justice she's ever felt. The Department of Justice says it doesn't have a comment. For Yellowstone Public Radio, I'm Olivia Reingold.
Olivia Reingold is Yellowstone Public Radio's Report for America Corps member. Montana Governor Steve Bullock's order to temporarily halt the sale of flavored e-cigarettes will not go into effect this week after all. A state district judge Friday blocked the administration's move until a hearing later this month. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports.
Montana vape shop retailers last week vowed to challenge Governor Bullock's order to temporarily halt the sale of flavored e-cigs. In a court filing Thursday, they made good on that promise. State District Judge Jennifer Lint of Hamilton has backed them up, at least for now. Lint issued a temporary restraining order Friday that blocks the 120-day ban from taking effect Tuesday. An October 30th hearing will take place to determine whether to continue blocking the ban while she considers the merits of the case.
I wish I could say I'm feeling great, but I'm not, because, you know, our businesses are suffering.
That's Deanna Marshall, co-owner of Freedom Vapes. That's one of the three vape shops that, along with her trade group, the Montana Smoke-Free Association, moved to block the ban. The Bullock administration says it ordered the temporary ban in response to widespread underage use of vaping products and reported mysterious lung injuries tied to vaping use. According to the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, vaping-related lung disease has sickened nearly 1,500 and killed 33 across the country. Montana reported its first vape-related death this week. Marshall believes that fatality had nothing to do with legal e-cig products.
There's been nothing issued about where, when, why this death occurred. And you know, what he was vaping, because I can promise you it was not our product.
The federal CDC says it's not identified the cause or causes of the lung injuries associated with the national outbreak, and, quote, no one compound or ingredient has emerged as the cause of these illnesses to date, unquote. But Marshall and her fellow plaintiffs pin the blame for those nationwide illnesses and deaths on black market and THC e-cig products. THC is the psychoactive ingredient in cannabis.
The majority of our sales are from flavored e-liquid. It wouldn't make sense to stay in business if you can't sell what you sell the most. The governor issued a ban and a ruling against a legally sold product in legal businesses that are regulated through the state of Montana. With a stroke of a pen, he took away our freedom and liberty.
Governor Bullock's office released this statement in response to Friday's events. Quote, we are confident in the work of pediatricians and our public health professionals and stand by them. Emergency rules exist for situations exactly like this. We continue to urge Montanans to take recommendations by public health officials seriously and refrain from using any vaping product, end quote. Earlier this week, Montana Public Radio asked State Medical Officer Greg Holzman what the State Health Department's response would be if Bullock's ban was challenged.
Our job in public health is to notify the public of risk to their own health and to help communities live at the healthiest possible way they can. And that's why we are announcing these cases. That's why we're keeping people up to date on what we know and what we don't know. And if there's a court case or anything else of that sort, we'll let that go through the court system.
Earlier this month, a court blocked a ban on flavored vaping products in New York. The Oregonian newspaper reports Oregon vape shop owners won a temporary stay yesterday on their governor's flavored vape ban. Paperwork opposing a similar ban in Massachusetts was expected to be filed Friday. Montana vape shop owner Deanna Marshall says she's sick of what she says is the fear-mongering surrounding the vaping industry. Even President Donald Trump has discussed the possibility of banning flavored e-cigs. Marshall maintains her defiant tone.
We'll take it to him, too.
Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.